ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय इज इट टेक्स्ट 9 यत् पूजया कमादुगं यति लोकान् गृहान्वितः ब्राह्मणोऽग्निश्चत्वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुगन् यति लोकान् गृहान्वितः ब्राह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुकम् यति लोकान् गृहान्वितः ब्राह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुकम् यति लोकान् गृहान्वितः ब्राह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकम् ब्रह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुकम् यति लोकान् ब्रह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुकम् यति लोकान् गृहान्वितः ब्राह्मणोऽग्निश्च वै विष्णौ सर्वदेवात्मनोमुखम् यत्पूजायकमादुकम्
Matisis.
Naya kamal tukam. Kam kam vitaha. Pramanam nisya vai vishnau.
Yat pujaya. By worshipping the fire and the Brahmins, Kamadukan, which fulfill one's desires, Yati, one goes, Lokan, to the destination of the higher planetary system. Griha Anvitaha, a person attached to household life. Brahmanaha, the Brahmins, Agnicha, and the fire, Vai, indeed, Vishnu, of Lord Vishnu, Sarvadeva Atmanaha, the soul of all the demigods, Mukam, the mouth. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. By worshipping the fire and the Brahmins, a householder can achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets, for the sacrificial fire and the Brahmins are to be considered the mouth of Lord Vishnu, who is the super soul of all the demigods. Purport. According to the Vedic system, fire sacrifice is held in order to offer oblations of ghee, grains, fruits, flowers, and so on, so that Lord Vishnu may eat and be satisfied. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9:26, Pacham pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya parachati taraham bhakti upatritam asnami prayatat manaha. If one offers me, with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water, I will accept it. Therefore, all these items may be offered in the sacrificial fire, and Lord Vishnu will be satisfied. Similarly, Brahmana Bhojana, feeding of the Brahmins, is also recommended. For when the Brahmins eat sumptuous remnants of food after yajna, this is another way that Lord Vishnu himself eats, and therefore the Vedic principles recommend that in every festival or ceremony one offer oblations to the fire and give sumptuous food for the Brahmins to eat. By such activities, a householder may be elevated to the heavenly planets and similar places in the higher planetary systems.
Om Agyanatam Randasya Agyanakana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jainatasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my humble obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, who has opened my darkened eyes, blinded by the darkness of ignorance with the torchlight of knowledge. By worshipping the fire and the Brahmins, a householder may achieve the desired goal of residing in the higher planets, for the sacrificial fire and the Brahmins are to be considered the mouth of Lord Vishnu, who is the super soul of all the demigods. So I think this is Kashyapa, yes it is, advising his wife, due to her lamentation, that she should actually be performing these kinds of activities by performing those activities, she will of course elevate her consciousness. Why is she in this condition? That we'll discuss after we speak a little bit to the point of it being Jayadeva Goswami's disappearance day. I don't know how much Jayadeva Goswami is known to your own research of Krishna consciousness, but actually Prabhupada in the Adi Lila, very early on, he mentions that the Lord used to read the books of Vidyapati Jayadev and Chandradas, realizing their songs, relishing their songs with his confidential associates. And this Gita Govinda, which is one of the poems and songs that was written by Jayadev Goswami, expresses the feelings of the gopi separation. It's a very elevated subject, and one has to approach it very carefully because one has to be qualified, just like one has to be qualified to visit the moon planet, to actually understand who's on the moon and be able to associate. So similarly, this is one of the highest realizations. And at the time that Jayadev Goswami was on the planet was 300, approximately, because no one's certain, approximately 300 years before Lord Chaitanya appeared. That was in the 11th or 12th century. So when Prabhupada mentions in the Majjalila that he says that the Gita Govinda, which was one of the poems of Jayadeva Goswami, is one of the songs of a Rasik Baba. It's the highest level, and it's not meant for ordinary persons. Therefore, Prabhupada did not really emphasize it so much in his books, but he certainly acknowledged it. One of the reasons he acknowledges it, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself comments, and Prabhupada quotes that comment in the Adi Lila 113.42, that reading is especially reserved for the highest level of bhakti. And it is such a high standard so that others will not commit the offense of entering into this mood. So it's reserved for only the most confidential topics of those that have achieved very deep realizations. In the Anchalila, Prabhupada describes this feeling as, quote, deeper than millions of oceans. Those are the feelings that are of the four writings that he cites, which he describes as enhancing the mood of Lord Chaitanya. Can you imagine enhancing, that Lord Chaitanya would use to enhance his own mood? And what are those? They are the four verses in the 10th canto. They are the Jagannath Vallabha. Number three is Bilba Mangala's Krishna Karatamrita. And the number four is Jayadev's Gita Govinda. These are the four works of expression, which we term in this age as literature because it's written down, as actually deepening the mood of separation between Krishna and the gopis. And this section was taken at the time from Raghunath Goswami, who was in Puri. So this is when Lord Chaitanya was actually encouraged by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who had not fully realized yet that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He actually recommended that on your journey to South India, you should actually visit you should visit Ramananda Roy and have discussions with him. Because Ramananda Roy, as we all know from our reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita, and those beautiful pastimes of that discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, was the actual ear holes by which Lord Chaitanya inspired those beautiful descriptions of the relationships of Krishna and the gopis. Now, Jayadev appeared in a place called, a village called Kendavila, which is not far from Mayapur in Bengal. And there, during his growing up, he found the deities of Radha Madhava. And he worshipped those deities all of his life. They were just like a pastime when Tamal Krishna Goswami, he found a deity right here in the beach in Juhu. And that deity continues to be worshipped today. So he found these deities. And he became at the time, in that area, known to the king, Lakshman Singh, who was of the king of the Navadvip area. And when he heard some of the poetry of Jayadev, he disguised himself and went to the small hut where Jayadev lived by himself. And he became so enraptured by Jayadev's descriptions that he revealed, "I am actually the king, and I want you to become the poet of my court." And Jayadev responded, "I live a very simple life, and such courtly opulences could disturb my meditation on Krishna. So I prefer not to." And he tried to refuse this invitation of the king, Lakshmi Singh. But the king made him an offer. "I will set you up in a village outside of my ruling capital. I will give you a small hut for yourself, but you will become still you will still perform the service of doing poetry for the kingdom." At that time, all the kings had poets. They were engaged in some of the more esoteric aspects of material life, which is to have beautiful sounds, beautiful poems. You know, they didn't have the internet, they didn't have the TVs, they didn't have radios. So they needed performances, dancers, poets, sometimes court jesters, to come or to be as their patrons. So Jayadeva agreed, okay, I'll do that. And he became the scholar, the poet in his court. And at that time, there was a Govardhan Acharya who was the scholar in that court of Lakshmi Singh. And he loved and delighted in speaking this new work that Jayadeva had written called Das Avatar. They were hymns, and they were written near Mayapur, and they all glorified the relationship of Krishna with the gopis. So, in that way, Jayadeva lived separately, but eventually he made his way down to Jagannath Puri, and there he had became a poet for the king of Puri. And at that time, there was a Brahmin in Puri who was very devoted to Lord Jagannath. And for many years, he and his wife, they wanted to have a child, but they were barren. And eventually, he had a daughter. So he went to Lord Jagannath and he said, you know, I have this daughter and you have to tell me how I can marry my daughter. And he put the child at the feet of the deity. And the deity spoke to him. He says, I have a very wonderful devotee here. His name is Jayadeva. And you take your daughter and tell Jayadeva, I told you that he should marry her. Now, we all know that Jayadeva was completely renounced. He lived a very simple life in a hut. And he had no desire for any kind of household life. But still, the Brahmin took this young girl, came to Jayadeva's place and said, the Lord has spoken to me and told me that you are to marry my daughter. And Jayadeva said, it's not happening. I'm not interested. And how do I know the Lord spoke to you anyway? But the Brahmin wouldn't listen and he left the daughter there and went away. And what do you think would happen when that young girl was left at the doorstep of this renunciate's hut? What did she do? She cried. And Jayadeva, being a compassionate person, he understood that he couldn't just leave her there. And, you know, the Brahmin did what was called a kanyadan. He had given the daughter in charity to the Brahmin. So he had to accept. And she became Jayadeva's wife. So now Jayadeva joins the ranks of what? The householders. But he performed his household life in a perfect way because they had to worship these deities of Radha Madhava. And so the deities became the center of the household life. And therefore, when Jayadeva was practicing his grihastha life, it was not different from living a life of a complete renunciate. And this is what Prabhupada has taught us in this day and age, because in Kali Yuga, we don't have all of the advantages of the various sacrifices like Kashyapa Muni was suggesting to his wife. You know, just, you know, do all these, offer everything into the sacrificial fire, which was a very important part of household life at the time. No, Prabhupada gave us the different sacrifice, just like if Kashyapa Muni were to come today, and you'd say, well, you say, well, what would you suggest that I do? Because I'm in this well of household affairs, and my kids are needing, you know, my time, and my wife is demanding certain things, and I just don't, or the wife would say, my husband is demanding certain things. It goes both ways. Because sometimes in this age, the wife is far more devotional than the husband. So what do you think Kashyapa would say? Oh, just, you know, every day make a sacrificial fire, offer, you know, all the food into the fire, and, you know, the mantras and the Vedic hymns into the fire. No, because in Kali Yuga, we have a different yajna. He would probably say, and I'm only guessing, speculating, which is but he would probably say, did you chant your rounds? Did you chant very nice rounds today? Did you pay attention to your rounds? This is the Yuga Dharma. If you're doing that, then you're safe. If you're doing that, you're doing the Yuga Dharma. You are doing exactly what Kashyapa was asking his wife to do. So this is the principle. So that's what I kind of made the connection between this day, this verse, and this disappearance day of Jayadwaiva Goswami. That's how he became a Goswami, not a Swami, because he was asked by the Lord to marry this Brahmin's daughter. So Jayadeva lived and he performed his poetry, and he departed, some say, at Kundabelva on the banks of the Ganga, and some say that he left in Puri, and some say that his deities were taken by the taken to Jaipur, and to this day are in a village called Ghati near Jaipur. He had also gone to Vrindavan himself at a time when Vrindavan still was not completely covered over like it had become in the 16th century when Lord Chaitanya went there. There was still some remnants of worship and saintly people who lived there in the 11th and 12th centuries. So I want to leave you with what Jayadeva had said as a recommendation for all of us, which will last as good advice forever. He said in his book Chandraloka, which he also wrote, it's his third book, he said, whatever is delighted in the varieties of music, whatever is graceful in fine streams of poetry, whatever is exquisite in the sweet art of love, let the happy and wise persons learn that from these songs of Gita Govinda. So whatever is delighted in the varieties of music, let that be the bhajans of Krishna. Whatever is graceful in the fine streams of poetry, let it be the poetry that describes Krishna and his pastimes. And whatever is exquisite in the sweet art of love, let it not be from some salacious novels, but in fact by the descriptions of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. He composed one of my most favorite songs, which we all sing from time to time, and I think some of you know the song, Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal. You know the song? Yeah. So this is one of Jayadeva's sweet songs that he wrote even after his marriage. So in summation, marriage is not an impediment in the path of devotional service in the age of Kali. It is certainly made easier when both people in the marriage are on the same page and realize that the chanting of the names of Krishna is, you know, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam. It's the only way in this age of Kali to actually achieve the desired result, the desired success. But even if one person in the marriage lives according to this dictum and the other person is not so enthusiastic, there is still no big impediment. This is just as Jayadeva Goswami, he lived in household life. He was certainly had to deal with the issues of women, and she had to deal with the issue of a very advanced renunciate. Still, they did very well, and Jayadeva left in full Krishna consciousness. So we can also do. It is not difficult. Just remember, it's very, very hard in the higher planetary systems where the mode of goodness is prevalent. So there's no disease. There's no poverty. There's no hardship. There's just attachment. And that attachment leads to lamentation. That's where that goes. So when we're practicing in this age of Kali, and we have this idea of sochiti or hankering, and kanchiti or lamentation, just know that that exists wherever you are in all the three worlds. It's not divorced from even on this planet when you have wealth and you have health and you have all those things, still you have problems. When we reach the Brahma-Bhuta stage, that's when we really begin. That's when we start on the path of pure devotional service. That's when our elevation begins, when I know I'm not this body. And that's when we begin to be free from this sochiti and kanchiti, this hankering and this lamentation. And who is in this room? Who in this social network that's watching this, who is free from this hankering and lamentation? When you read the poems and hear the songs of Jayadev, when you read the purports of Srila Prabhupada, and when you hear his lectures, you hear from a person or persons who are free from those attachments in material life. And what does that do for you? It erases your own attachments. It just takes your attachments and neutralizes them. And that's why Prabhupada said, reading, hearing and chanting, sarvanam, smaranam, remembering, hearing and chanting, and kirtanam, chanting. These are the means by which we become free from sochiti and kanchiti. And when we're free from that, we become like Jayadev. Oh, the Lord wanted me to take a wife. Okay, whatever the Lord wants, that's good for me. How about that as a daily consciousness? Whatever happens to me, that's the Lord's arrangement. That's good for me. You want to become free from all miseries? Association with the pure devotees and the advanced devotees. Anyone more advanced than yourself. That's how to become free. That's the key. It's all in the Sangha. And we have so much Sangha in this temple, so much good Sangha. Yeah, there's bad Sangha also, right here in this mid. That's of course. And some days some people are better than they are, and other days some day people are flying, and they're really in Krishna consciousness. And some days they're burdened by the heavy modes of material nature. So in those bad days, you stay away. Just try to help out. And on the good days, you take shelter. And this is what we do. We're constantly barometers of our environment. Is it a hot day? Is it a cold day? Do I wear a sweater? Do I not need any chudder? And this way we take advantage of people knowing that they're also subject to the modes of material nature. I'll finish this off because I was very much enthused by my mother, who was in very early days was very antithetical to Prabhupada. I recently found a 2-page letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to my mother. A beautiful letter. I should publish it. So my mother was very concerned in the beginning because I wasn't very well taken care of. I lost a lot of weight. I got sick. And as a loving mother, she was very concerned about her son. And she's now going to be 96 years old. So I wasn't sure if I would see her. When I go away for a month, I'm not sure she'll be there when I get back. And we talk about it. She wants to leave her body. She's tired. And we talk in great depth about God and taking her and protecting her. So I'm not worried for her. I hope that she leaves her body soon because it's a big burden on her. And I said, Mom, what would you give me if you were to leave while I'm gone? I'm leaving tomorrow. What words would you want me to remember? It's pretty nice to have a relationship like that with your parent. I'm very fortunate. And she said, well, you're 70 now. You know, the family thing is not so important now when you're 70. Your creativity, your devotion, the life ahead of you, you have to concentrate on that. Very wise thing for a mother to say. She just never read the books. You know, she has her own faith. But it struck me that she was giving me complete license. The most loving thing a person can do, give up your attachments, even to me. Just carry out your devotional life the rest of the time. Make that the most important thing. So you see, we can gain great advice from all corners, from our family, from our devotee friends, from reading, hearing. Krishna is everywhere. He's giving such instruction all the time. We just have to have ears to hear it, isn't it? So I'll end with that, thanking you for listening to me and saying what a great privilege it is to be here again. I feel what Prabhupada says. He says, Bombay is my office. So I say, Bombay is my home. I feel most at home in all of India in this temple. And I'm looking forward to the wonderful celebrations that are going to happen in the next 2 weeks. And I have big plans for how to spread Krishna consciousness. But my wife says, don't tell everybody your plans. Keep your plans to yourself. Let the plans just come out. So even if they don't happen, I have them. But I'm sure they will. And I want to thank you all again for being such a patient audience. Are there any questions or comments? What's your name? Nam?
Jagannath Sakha, Prabhu. Jagannath Sakha Das.
Okay. Can they make that a little louder because we can't?
Jagannath Sakha Das.
Okay.
My question is that you said that your mother gave divine instruction to concentrate on your service of Prabhupada. Similarly, we can see that Dhruva Maharaj mother also gives the same instruction. Approach Lord Dhruva Maharaj in Bhagavatam. So, nowadays we see that mothers or parents, whenever boy come in the program, they say, don't go in Hare Krishna, don't go. So what should we say to them, like nowadays?
Okay, the question is, what do you say to your mother if they don't encourage you? And there's polite ways of saying no. You know, I mean, parents don't... do you have children? No. So when you have... I've had one, two, three, four. My son came to me. He was around 25 at the time. He says... He was married at the time. Now he's divorced. He said, Dad, what would you think of becoming a grandfather? I said, well, I'd be happy for you. He said, well, wouldn't you like be really, really happy? I said, Ishan, why would I be so happy for myself? Did I get born just to have a grandchild? Was that my purpose of my being born, to have a grandchild? He said, but Dad, you know, it's going to be your grandchild. He couldn't get it. He's raised in Krishna conscious environment, you know. Couldn't understand how I wasn't excited about being a grandfather. I said, I'm excited for you. If you'll be happy, then I'm happy. That's the nature of a parent. But for myself, I don't care. I don't care. He was so disappointed. So yeah, we're going to disappoint our family members sometimes. Mommy, you may not understand this, but this is very important to me and to to my goal of my life. Remember that Prabhupada wants us to come to the temple, mainly, train up, become very trained up, and then go out and spread Krishna consciousness. The idea wasn't to come to the temple and then see that as my pension plan. That wasn't the idea. The idea is this is a training camp. This was an army. This is a place we come and train. Now, there may be celibate monks that come here and decide, I just want this celibate life and this is great and I'll do what the authorities want me to do. And that's okay. But most of us are going to come here and we're going to get trained in Krishna consciousness and be expected to make a life of figuring out how to give it to others. So, it depends on your situation. If your situation is like that, you say, Mom, it's just a temporary thing. I'm getting trained in Krishna consciousness. The best thing I can do with my life right now. Then we'll see what happens. You know, you buy some time. Because parents are attached. And they lament. And they think that you are theirs. They don't think you belong to Krishna. So Prabhupada, when he wrote my mother was saying, can you tell my son, please, to leave and come home? I have these letters from my mother to Prabhupada and Prabhupada to my mother. And Prabhupada writes back to her, he says, we're not holding him here by force. He is free to go at any time. He did not say, oh, your mother is so this and... No, he wrote back to her, said, I'm a free person. I can do what I want. He's an adult. He can do what he wants. We're not holding him. So sometimes you have to take the position like that with the parents. Be strong, be kind, be gentle, but at the same time, be firm. That's all. It's your life. You get to do with it with what you want. And if you decide that you're going to be held to your life by some social convention, by some tradition in Hindu, you know, the Hindu life in India, or some British imposition on that Hindu life, and who knows what's going on. There's been so many mix-ups of the cultures over the past couple thousands of years. You know, tradition, they talk about an ISKCON tradition. We're only 40 years old, 40-some years old. What's the ISKCON tradition? We've got a tradition already. It's constantly changing. There's no such thing as tradition. That's culturally conditioned. You want to see what's tradition? Read in the Bhagavatam. That's tradition. That's it. So here's the tradition. The tradition is, in this case, that the Brahmin gave his daughter to the advanced soul. What's that called? Kanyadan. Kanyadan. That's tradition. And your parents or whoever you're talking about, they don't know from tradition. They're just thinking that's our tradition and what are our friends going to think? Who cares? We don't have to care. Everyone here is an abhidhut when they come to Krishna consciousness. You're in this by yourself for the pleasure of Krishna. That's who you are. And whoever tells you anything else, they don't know what they're talking about. I don't know. Any other questions? Anybody else want to question? I'm in my lion mood now. And I'm not talking L-Y-I-N-G. I'm talking L-I-O-N. Prabhupada gave me that name, Nisringananda. He said to me, I'm giving you this name, Nisringananda, because you will always be protected from your parents. That's what he said when he initiated me. That's a Vaikuntha man. That's Prabhupada. He was bold and he was never compromising. Not when it came to a person's spiritual life. So, anybody else? Any other comments? Okay. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.